Welcome to Horizons Abroad, where we talk about traveling and living abroad. I'm your host, Marco Peroche. Join me as I talk with people about their adventures and unexpected challenges as they explore foreign cultures, the people, and a new way of life. Thank you so much for joining me today. On this episode, we have a very special guest, an AU student who is at the moment trying to go back abroad, but was studying abroad in Japan, in Kyoto. He's on the Sakura Scholars Program, and he was studying for 2 years over there. Please welcome me as we introduce Mason Chappelle. Mason, thank you so much for coming onto the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mason Chappelle, that's an interesting last name. You're unrelated to comedian Dave Chappelle, is that correct?
Yeah, no, that's correct. I get that a lot, though.
Oh, okay, awesome. Well, so you've been studying in Japan these past few semesters, right?
Yeah.
Cool. So tell me, what is the experience like over there? You know, being being an American student in Japan, it's a very, very different culture, very different way of life. What are your thoughts?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, the culture over there is completely different than anything over here. Every time I go, I feel like whenever I'm over in Japan, it feels like a completely different life, like separate from anything like related to the anything in the United States, or just everything feels different. When you're walking down the street, just like looking around, you just realize that like there's so many things you can't read, so many things are just like new things that you just don't understand, and that's part of what makes it so exciting.
Right. Very nice. Cool. So how come Japan? Like, why'd you choose Japan as like a place to, you know, to live for a couple of years to study over, you know, the other countries that AU offers in like study abroad programs?
I've only left the country about twice in my life, and both those times were Japan. Oh. And first time I ever went to Japan, I was in fourth grade, and at the time it was the first time I ever left the country. I barely even left the state at the time. One of the first times I've even been to the East Coast was when I went to AU. So I had barely left California, and now I was going to Japan. Right. And you know, at the time, I had no idea. I was just like a dumb fourth grader. I didn't know what Japan was or anything. And it really, really just like blew my mind when I went there, just how different everything was. Mm. And I was just fascinated by it all. And right. From there, after that, I started studying Japanese. And I knew that it was something I wanted to go back one day and understand it more. Mm. So in high school, the next time I went to Japan is when I studied abroad in high school, only for a month, but that one month long experience was really, really a lot to me. I studied abroad in Sapporo through a program called AFS, and I was able to live with a host family in Japan and for that month, and also attend a high school there. And just the entire experience was just something else, and really, it made me want to go into this field of international relations after that. Cool. But specifically, I was interested in, you know, learning more Japanese and learning more about, you know, like relations between like this country and that there, and like the similarities and differences between the two.
Right. Cool. Yeah. Well, I mean, so basically, by fourth grade, even though you're really young, you kind of knew, you know, this is it. This is like where I want to be. This is where I want to, like, you know, I want to live eventually.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, nice. So you're telling me, you know, you've gone twice beforehand at a younger age. But, you know, now recently for college, you're back again. You're a little bit older. You have experience with Japanese, like you said, you were practicing, so, you know, it's not completely foreign to you, this language, which is admittedly very complicated, with so many kanji characters. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a lot for anyone to, like, you know, to look at on a surface level. It's already very complicated, but I'm sure you're getting the hang of it. So when you went back this new time, the now as a college student, was there anything that felt like a culture shock to you, going back to, you know, Japan now, more as an adult?
No, to be honest, the one thing that like to me, like just researching Japan and like thinking about it so much, there's like I always felt like I'd be like ready for everything, and for the most part, I felt like most things I experienced I've known about. But every time, even though I knew about this, every time the one thing that I always get culture shock without fail is having to go through an onsen. There's always a time that you have that. Where you have to, like, if you're with like a if you're part of a sports team, or if you're just in like in high school, there's usually a time if you're in Japan that you're gonna have to go into an onsen,
So,
and that was always the time that I have experienced the most
that
culture
is the
shock and
yeah.
pure
So,
embarrassment.
maybe for context, you want to explain what an onsen is for people that might not know.
An onsen is like a traditional Japanese bathhouse where you bathe along with everyone else of the same gender as you. And just an open room and no
Right.
privacy
No
whatsoever. In fact,
privacy.
like privacy in it, like trying to like get privacy is considered rude.
Right.
That's always.
So in an onsen, yeah, people are very open about kind of nudity. So I can understand, you know, coming from a Western culture, a Western point of view, it's a little uncomfortable at first, right?
Right.
Yeah,
It's
that makes sense.
without fail, it's always uncomfortable. Like every time I go back and I have to do it again for the first time, it's always just feels like I'm right back to being forced in this situation again for the first time. But
Yeah.
it's something you get used to, and it's honestly just it's just an interesting cultural experience at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess it's a good bonding experience if nothing else, 'cause you know,
Yeah, you could say
what
that.
what's better than getting close to someone, I guess naked. So, yeah. There's that. Cool. Yeah, okay, very in okay, interesting. Interesting. And you know, in terms of difficulties, since you first came to Japan to in a more permanent situation, not just as a tourist anymore, technically, you know, long term, did you have any difficulties, you know, adjusting to this new way of life? And you know, how are you managing to handle that? You know, how are you taking control of that situation?
Oh, first going in, it's different than just going in like into a new school anywhere. It's always going to be difficult because you got to make friends, and there of course there's people I know from the same program as me that I've been close friends with since being at AU. But when going into Japan again, I wanted to expand my horizons and get to know people that go to the same school as me. And no matter what the situation, no matter what school you're going to, it's always going to be a kind of difficult when you first go in, especially now that there's a new language barrier that you have to get over. And go through this, I asked around it because it was difficult at the time because I came in the middle of the year, because in Japan, year would actually start in April and end in January. So me coming in the summer where the school year would normally be starting was the middle of the year for everyone else. So the club fairs, anything like that, if you they're all already ended. Those were happening first semester. It's all done. You have to fend for yourself at the time. So I asked around people in my dorm of like they know anybody in like different clubs or circles, and I was and so I asked around. I eventually joined a tennis circle, which is basically the same thing. It's just a club. The circle aspect of what's the difference between a club and circle is in Japan, a circle is more oriented towards social activities rather than club sport would be more sport
Competitive,
itself.
more
Yeah, be more
competitive.
competitive and dedicated toward the sport itself. Rather, a circle be more people who all enjoy the sport, but would rather just have fun with it rather than be competitive.
It's you could say it's kind of like an excuse to meet people, and it's like under this platform that it's like, okay, everyone's going to be playing the same sport together, but really it's just like it's a nice way to interact and meet new people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And what do you think? What do you think of this tennis circle?
Oh, it was so much fun. I hope we're still continuing now, but all the retreats we go on, I got to see all these different parts of Japan that I probably never would have seen before, and I was actually the only person in the circle that was non-Japanese, so it was just the only one who really could speak English, or the only one who couldn't speak fluent Japanese.
Right.
So
okay.
That was probably the biggest difficulty, is having to work my way up through the language barrier, become friends with everybody. Which at first it was just super difficult having to get through all the awkwardness of not understanding people and having them and not them not understanding you. But eventually I pushed through all that, mm-hmm. and used an opportunity to continue language abilities. And by the end of it, by the end of the semester, I'd had any close friends that I talked to almost every day from the circle and I've really improved my Japanese through it.
Awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. So you said that that you were the only member, for the sake of simplicity, you were the only member that really wasn't Japanese, native Japanese.
Yes.
And how that makes me wonder, how does that make you feel, in the sense that, it is a country that is, majority Japanese. It is a country that it's very, very close-knit, a very close-knit society. And so how does that make you feel, being in a country where you very much, you look different, you stand out, as a foreigner, in that country, in everyday life?
It can be difficult to get used to at first. Actually, it was a lot more. I felt a lot more out of place when I was in Sapporo, because there, throughout my commute to school and around there, if I went to the city, I'd probably see one or two non-Japanese tourists or people there,
mm-hmm.
and it was just very, very rare, which meant I would just stand out no matter where I go. If I went to Starbucks, a lot of times because they see me in a school uniform and they'd ask, and I get asked questions by the people working there and stuff. But it was never, I never felt it never felt like bad attention. So mm-hmm. it never bothered me, but I can understand why I make a lot of people uncomfortable.
Yeah. But you know what? It's pretty brave of you that, you joined a circle that is just all Japanese except for you, because a lot of international students fall into this kind of mistake, or it's not a mistake, but they kind of fall into this this kind of clique of other international students that speak the same language as them, come from maybe a similar kind of Western background, and they never take a chance, they never really take a risk and try to make Japanese friends. Maybe it's not because they don't want to, but it's maybe because of the language barrier that's very intimidating. But the fact that you went out of your way and you got through that awkward phase of meeting new people and becoming friends with them and crossing that gap with the language barrier, it's very impressive. It's very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with hanging out with all the other people from the same school or country or people that speak the same language as you, but especially when studying abroad, I do too. Especially through in my dorm, there's very close-knit community. of all the other international students, and especially ones from EU, we'd all hang together. But I guess when I went there, I wanted to also, it was my main goal to, you know, become fluent. I want to become fluent in Japanese. I want to learn everything I can about the culture. And because of that, I really try to push myself to go outside my comfort zone and meet as many new people as I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, you know, you hear a lot about these programs where students drop out, you know, kind of midway through the semester because they get depressed and they get homesick. And, you know, that could happen with any place, with any country that's new, and you're living there for the first time. It's a really big change. And so that could happen to anyone, really. But you do hear a lot about that with foreigners trying to live in Japan, that, you know, they just can't get used to this completely new way of life, just a completely different culture. So my question for you is, do you ever get that feeling? Do you ever feel like, oh, you know, maybe this isn't for me, you know, maybe I should go home? Do you ever get homesick at all when you're over there?
I guess for me, it's always been like my lifelong dream ever since I first went to Japan to go back and learn everything about it, because it's just so, everything I just find so interesting. So honestly, even when I would get homesick, I would never feel like I wanted to go home, because it's more of, I would feel like, is okay, how can I make my time here better, rather than wanting to go home. It's just, how can I make this a better home for me?
That's a great way to look at it, because, you know, I feel maybe sometimes people go in this downward spiral where they just get, you know, locked in their room, and they're just talking to people from back home, and then they just think about home, and then boom, before you know it, they're out of there. They're out a semester early, or they're just, you know, they're cutting out all their plans just to go back home, just because, you know, it's not for them. So I think that's a good mentality to have, that, you know, I think it's an awkward phase for a lot of people. You know, just with anything, there's an awkward phase. Then you get used to it, and then you start enjoying it. So, you know, that's good. That's a good way to look at things. But I know you have this program for 2 years, right? You're going to be there for 2 years in Kyoto. And so when those 2 years are up, what's the plan? What are you thinking of doing?
After these 2 years, of course, I'm going to be going back to AU and spending my senior year there.
Yeah, go Eagles.
You know, which I'm very excited to do. Mm-hmm. I love the school.
Yeah.
No, at the end of the day, I love the school. I love all the people here. It's always exciting to go back.
Who doesn't?
But
who doesn't?
Yeah. After that, it's tough to say, but I would probably plan on going back to Japan and trying to find a job there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, there's definitely a lot of demand for, you know, English-speaking foreigners that also speak business-level Japanese. So, you know, I think that there is definitely, you know, there's a demand. There's a big demand for someone like you in terms of, you know, that industry.
Oh, I would hope so. Yeah. Let's hope it still is by that time.
Yeah, by the time you're back there. Yeah, hopefully, yeah. You know, that this has been really interesting. And I just have one more question for you. The most recent time that you've been back to Japan, if you could go back and, you know, kind of give yourself some words of wisdom, some advice, about everything you've seen, you know, knowing what you know, would you do anything differently? What would you tell yourself, you know, before you go on this big move, this big decision, this journey?
Well, I would like to think I wouldn't want to change anything, but guess, going in on this this whole thing, it was hard to get advice because I had not known anybody who'd gone through something like this, and so a lot of the advice I had to make myself. Mm-hmm. Probably the biggest, I'd have to think about this.
Take your time.
Advice that I would want to give myself before going, I guess, would be, honestly, probably just study more. Study more Japanese, honestly. Practice more. Don't get lazy. Beforehand, it's like, just probably the best thing you can do before going to a foreign country is, like, you always think that, like, oh, I'll learn it once I get there. Mm-hmm. The base that you have before you go there, I would argue, is probably the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Is to, when you go to a new country, to study abroad or spend like a good amount of time in there, and your intention, and you have an intent of learning the language. I think the most important thing is to have a base of that language before going for studying abroad. Luckily, I did have a decent base of the language, but I wish it was better.
Right.
So, and that, like, especially conversation skills, because it can be tough to, you know, find people to practice with all the time. You know, I just encourage people to use the resources that they can, you know, things like, you know, how the school would provide, like, you know, language exchange partners, things like that. Mm-hmm. That would, I think, would be just like a lot, would be good to have, and to utilize before studying abroad.
I see. Well, because you always hear these stories about how, you know, places like Tokyo are very international cities. They see a lot of tourists. And, you know, they speak a lot of, Japanese and English for all the tourists. Do you think that, you know, even with that kind of accommodation, people should still probably study up before, you know, taking a trip to, you know, a place like Tokyo, for example?
Yeah, so if you have the intention of learning a language and wanting to learn it, mm-hmm. then yes, I'd say it's very important. But if you do not, if for whatever reason you don't want to, you have no interest in learning the language, you just want to experience, like, the sights and, you know, the environment, and that's completely fine. And there's accommodations for English in most places. I'd say you can get by in Japan very well without any Japanese.
Okay. Interesting. It's because people are very willing to help, right? You know, it's a very, you know, cooperative, very collectivist society, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing stuff. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come on and share your story about studying abroad, and hopefully you will be back in Japan very soon.
Yeah, hopefully.
Hopefully, yeah. Fingers crossed that we don't get any more pandemics between now and then. But the Summer Olympics are coming up, so that'll be really interesting for Japan, you know. Yeah, crazy stuff. All right. Thank you so much for coming on to the show. And thank you, listener, for taking the time and giving this episode a listen. So please check us out online and wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been Marco Perroche for Horizons Abroad. Thank you so much.